Call me old man Waves.
Damn you, old man!
Wait.
Old ass man.
Shut up, old man. You smell like fart.
No. Man.
Old man.
Wait. He's so old, he got a podcast on cassette.
Fuck, you're old.
Damn it, Wade.
Oh, this is going to be blasphemous, but you know what porn star I don't like? Huh. I don't like Cherokee.
I'm not crazy about her.
Cherokee the ass? Yeah. I'm not like crazy
used to
about
like her.
I
like in 2004. Was she active back then?
She's to me, she's kind of washed. She's always been like hot to me, but I'm tired of looking at her.
Yeah, I like girls that don't look like porn stars, that they just look like, yo, I mean, we just got this camera on. We about to fuck real quick.
All right. And welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the God of Stubborn, the Lord of Laughter, the Sire of Sarcasm, Old Man Wade. And I'm sitting here with my co-host, the pinnacle of political perfection, Super Bowl Gabby.
What up? So you took the Hotep out? I'm going to wander peace?
We don't need to talk about peace because you are peace.
Ah, awesome.
You are peace.
All right, word.
And to my direct right, we got the man, the myth, the legend, Just Greg.
What's up, y'all?
All right, so what do you guys want to start first? Do you want to talk stories from listeners, or do you guys want to talk about the conversation we had before the last podcast ended about, like, fucking your friend's exes?
Those are both good choices.
So let's start with a story from a listener first. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my homeboy DJ. He asked me, he goes, would a bar fight story work for your podcast?
Yes. Have you listened to the Old Man Wade Show?
So he goes, so myself and two friends were at, I'm not going to say where, one random Friday night after work. Starts off rather interesting. My buddy sees a guy he thinks is my ex-wife's new boyfriend. So he punches him in the face because he's drunk, so why not?
Wow. Excellent. Starting off strong.
Yeah. I calmed the situation since it wasn't the right guy. Then a girl buys me a drink for some random reason and her boyfriend tried to fight me, but I wasn't paying attention to him, so my friends managed to get him to disappear. So already, two almost big fights, but we managed to avoid it, and it's close to closing. Now it's close to closing time. Excuse me. We were walking back to the car, and a random college kid decides to pick a fight. He sees us walking and accuses me of flicking a cigarette at him. Mind you, I've never smoked in my life. I was already in a fighting mindset, so I did a quick turnaround and got in his face. His group of friends tried saying he's drunk, just ignore him. My friend's response was, he's only paying attention because he's drunk, so good luck, haha. Now there is like 10 to 15 guys and a couple of girls. There's only three of us. The words being exchanged quickly turned volatile. He went to insult my mother. That's a big no-no because she passed away when I was 5. Ooh. So I heard my mother, and before he even finished speaking, I grabbed him by the shirt and pulled him into my punch. I felt his jaw break beneath my nose.
Holy shit! Can I guess who this is?
You don't know.
Oh, okay.
He drops and I go to the ground and continue pummeling his head. At this point, his friends are starting to punch and kick me in the head, but I was straight tunnel vision and kept bashing moron number one. My friends see and see his group and jump in. The girls in their group immediately ran off after I threw the first punch. I start throwing hands with the other guy. My friends are going to town on everyone sticking around. One random citizen sees the commotion and tries running over to break it up. He gets cold cocked mid-stride and falls into a car. At this point, everyone either ran or is out cold. My friends took off in different directions. I looked around, picked up my hoodie, and went to walk away. I saw one of the guys crawling, and as I'm walking off, I knee him right in the side of the head. He drops, and I casually stroll off, covering the first dude's blood, who hasn't even twitched since the first punch.
I mean, I don't even know. Yo, that's how you should end every night.
No, that's not how you should end every night.
Every night like that?
No!
That sounds like a good night.
I've never been in a bar fight, which is funny.
You've never been in a bar fight?
I have never been in a bar fight.
But you were a freaking bouncer.
I don't count that as bar fights, though.
What It's literally a bar fight.
I've never been a patron and been in a fight at a bar.
I wouldn't fight you at a bar.
Huh?
I don't know. I mean, if I was young enough, I'd probably fight you, but I wouldn't look at you and be like, yo, let me fight this big ass fucking...
But when I'm drinking, I'm alone in a bar or I'm drinking, I'm extremely quiet. Yeah. I sit, I enjoy my booze, and people bump into me.
You're not an asshole drunk.
Oh, I am.
I'm tired of you saying this shit, right? You are a cool person. I've seen you drunk multiple times. You might get a little chatty, right? But you're drunk.
A little
chatty. And it's entertaining. But you are not an asshole drunk, bro.
Well, Greg's actually seen me shit face. Him and Jeff had to carry me up the stairs one day after I threw all up in Jeff's car.
So you're either really cool drunk or you're so drunk you can't do fucked up shit. So
I haven't been that bad. I haven't been that off in over a decade though. Like that shit face. Yeah. Been a long time since I've been that shit. But I can tend to be an angry and nasty drunk though. But that's part of my DNA.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, everybody, audience, Old Man Wade is not an asshole. Don't listen to him.
I can be, but like, you know what it is? A buddy of mine says I kill ants with a sledgehammer, and Greg has seen me in those positions where someone will say something, and what they said will be at a level 3, and then I should probably go with a level 3 or level 4, and I go with like a 9 or a 10, and it's like, dude.
You
know what? Well,
they started it. You can take it to a 5.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, fuck it, they started it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, shit.
Forgiven? No, how do you deal with drunk people, Greg?
I usually don't.
Just walk away? You're the drunk person?
No, I'm definitely not the drunk person, but I usually don't deal with them. I avoid them at all costs. Yeah, facts. Yeah.
You can tell when there's going to be a problem. You just walk away. I think that's
sometimes
a sign.
We all have that intuition.
Not all of us. Clearly not all of us have that intuition. Like, if we all had the intuition, like, there would never be bar.
Well, I think we all have that intuition. Some of us respond to it differently.
Fact. Yeah, I agree with that. I can see that. Yeah. Like, it's funny because usually most of the time, like, when I'm, like, somewhere at a bar, like, and I have this habit of, like, if I'm sitting here.
No, you didn't.
Huh?
No, you didn't.
I did?
No.
Oh, see, so I apparently didn't pause it.
All right, great. Cutting room floor.
Uh-huh. I'll edit this shit. It's only been on a minute or whatever. So, and damn, who was that?
You know who that is.
I don't remember the last thing I said. I remember I was talking nonsense and I have an edit point, but
it's my fault.
Then Greg showed us something, but a bunch of thighs. What is a deal breaker for you guys? Like, because everyone has their thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like tits, ass, thighs. Is there something that, like, a woman has to have, like, that you're just, like... Because, Javi, I would assume you're a leg guy. I think we've had this conversation before.
I'm definitely a leg guy. I'm a butt guy. Like, honestly, yo, I just gotta be attracted to you, bro. Like, I feel like I'm learning constantly new things I'm attracted to. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if I was a single man, like, it would be very hard for me to, like, stay in a stable relationship. Because, like, I'm just attracted to, like, pretty women, period.
If I was single right now, with all the apps and shit like that,
yeah.
Dog, my numbers would run up. Like, you remember that scene in Space Jam where the monsters were just running up numbers?
Yeah.
That's what I know. That's what it would look like every, like, night. It would just be like, it would sound like a pinball machine in my house.
So you'd be, like, just...
I would just be fucking.
So are we talking... When we say deal breakers, are we just talking like physical deal breakers?
Yeah, physical deal breakers. Okay. We can get to like emotional deal breakers.
Emotional's different.
I'm gonna roll with Javi. I just have to be attracted to you.
Yeah.
There's no like, I don't really, I'm not gonna say I don't have a type. I think everybody has a type.
Or multiple types.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody has, you know, some shape, form, or fashion, a type.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what I like, and just to keep it simple, when I describe it, I know what I like. I just to sum it up, I just have to find you attractive, because the last woman I found really attractive might look nothing like the next one I found really attractive. You know, so
it depends on the situation.
There's certain attributes that makes a woman more attractive than the next.
So like, what is it for you?
I mean,
Because I know like, one of your favorites.
I'm like really big. Like me, I like a really nice shape. That's it. If a woman doesn't have this, despite what, on contrary to popular belief about men, the size of a woman's ass is not a deal breaker. A lot of us tend to talk like and act like if a woman doesn't have a big behind, she's not attractive or we're not interested. But if you look at their girlfriends, their past, you know, flings or their wives or whatever, they don't all look like Instagram models. You know what I mean? With big behinds or anything like that. So
there's a lot of average baby mamas out here.
Yeah, there's a lot of average looking baby mamas out here. So like, a woman doesn't necessarily have to have a big ass, but a big ass is definitely nice. Yeah. You know, a big chest is definitely nice. You know, really nice, you know, wide hips, that's nice. Me personally, I just like shape. I just like a nice shape on a woman. Doesn't have to be really big, voluptuous shapes. It can be slim and slender, but still shapely. That's what grabs my attention, shape.
Yeah, you know who has some of the best cleavage in the game?
Who?
Kim Whitley.
From
is it 227?
That's Jack A.
You know they were like, we always get them mixed. Yeah, they look just like
Different World?
She was in, she's in a show I watched called The Young and the Hungry. She was in Next Friday, Baby Boy.
There was a sitcom she was on.
I'm looking for it now.
It wasn't Living Single, was it?
Yeah, it was Living Single. She was
No, that's that. You think of that?
Kim Whitfield.
Yeah, Kim Whitley is this is Kim Whitley. She was in Black Dynamite. She was Honey Bee.
Yeah, she was in wasn't she in
227? No, that's Jack A. Jack A. Harris.
Damn, Mark, that's an old school.
She's in a show I watched called The Young and the Hungry. So,
but yeah, going back to the topic, I'm not one of those dudes that would be like, oh, does she have a big ass? Oh, nah, she doesn't. I can't mess with her. No, I'm not one of those dudes. I just have to find her attractive. That's it. Like, and it could be because she has a big behind. Some of the girls, the last few girls that I found myself really attracted to, had little to no behind, but they were still very attractive to me. They had a nice shape. The thing that they all had in common was that regardless of them not having large behinds, was that they had nice shape. One of them was like really slim, really thin, but still had a nice figure to her.
Smell good, have a nice smile, a nice personality.
Yo, a nice smile is really underrated, man.
And not just a disgusting person. I don't think it's that hard.
There was a woman I used to go to high school with, and she never smiled, but when she did, she had by far the most beautiful smile I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was like glorious. So yeah, like, and she was like insanely attractive, but like when she smiled, it was almost like the cliche phrase that like it would light up the room, because she never did it. But when she did, it was like, wow. It was like, you know what I mean? Like, it was funny because she was actually voted best smile in high school.
Yeah.
But I think because, like, she never smiled, but when she did, everyone, like, took notice to it or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that's an underrated, like I said, that's an underrated quality.
Yeah, but as a wise man right that I am right now, at my age, my tender age of 38, I'm still, might as well be, because I'm feeling those aches and pains out of nowhere nowadays, but I don't think looks hold as much weight as they used to. They're still, you know, it does play a major factor because I think you're supposed to be attracted to whoever you date.
Yeah.
But I think I and a lot of other guys who have, you know, seen the light and have had the it's the same or similar experiences are giving more attention to like personality and what women have to offer.
Well, I think as we get older, I shouldn't say as we get older, but I think a lot of people really get into like what a person, I shouldn't say just women, but a person's personality, because I know a lot of females who have turned down like sex with like the most attractive men because they were like, yeah, they were shitty people.
Yeah.
And I fuck some women that I just have just had shitty personalities, and I'm like, eh, whatever, I'm bored. And like, I've had sex with women who hate me, and I've hated them. But we both like to have sex with them. I'm like, eh, fuck it, we'll do it, because we both really have nothing else better to do. And mm-hmm. we're both trash people. So fuck it, we'll fuck. You know what I mean? It is what it is. Just push the couch in, you're fine. So yeah, like, so that's just one of those things. But like, a really good personality can take something, can like, can turn like someone who may be like a 5 to like a 9 just because you're looking past all that other stuff, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I was having a conversation like this earlier today, so it's funny that it came up today. But I mentioned that, like, I think a lot of us guys, we've all had that moment where we woke up next to the person that we were dating or currently sleeping with, and she could be laying there with her, like, in a tank top and her boob kind of exposed, or in some, like, really sexy underwear and poking her butt out. You're like, God damn, I'm really, like, I pulled a nice one this time. Like, yo, she's nice.
Yeah. It's opposite, though.
Yeah, but but the thing is, like, after a while, that kind of wears off if her attitude sucks. Like, if her attitude...
Let's keep it G. That wears off regardless. Bad attitude just makes that shit quicker.
Yeah, I know. That's true. It kind of wears off. Like, I remember I had a few of those moments where I just kind of looked down and was like, God damn, I pulled a nice one. This girl's really dope. She's so attractive.
Yep.
But like, later on, like you said, regardless, it kind of wears off and you kind of take it for granted, or you're just not as impressed as you used to be. Or there are those times where you're like, oh my God, like she's fine, but yo, I gotta get rid of this person, because
the toxic
personality is just not working.
Mm-hmm. You know what's funny, like as when I was a single guy, like one of the things that was hard to do was like getting rid of someone that was toxic, but the sex was so good, man. Mm-hmm. And you're like, fuck, I need to get this one away from me.
I had no issue with that, bro.
But then you look over at him and you're like, I kind of want to beat again, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, like, it's...
I remember kicking a girl out of my bedroom. Right?
You'll laugh. I've done...
waking up 5 hours or so later. Like, not just kicking her out of my bedroom. Like, kicking her out of my house. Right?
Yeah.
My apartment. Like, kicking her out. Waking up a couple hours later, and she's standing in my room looking at me. That shit is scary. Sometimes you just can't get rid of them.
And that's why I've never had a one-night stand. That's exactly what I meant.
It wasn't even a one-night stand, bro.
Like, but no, but like, I don't trust women. I don't trust people.
You had to say women, wasn't you?
I was. I don't trust women. I don't trust people.
It's very problematic of you, old man.
I'm calling this episode the Misogynistic Podcast.
Oh, shit. I don't want to be honest.
I'll just say that. You know, I'll take the old man way as a misogynist.
I could, too. Not messing
with college. But no, like I don't trust people, man. Like, and I'm a straight male, so like, I would be bringing a woman home.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't know some chick, I don't know if she's gonna be crazy enough. Like, you know what I mean? Like, go do some crazy shit. And at the time, like the first time I moved out, I was on my own.
Yeah.
So like, I was sort of kind of into this chick. And then when that broke up, I ended up having sex with a couple of people that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
So I was cool. And then when I moved out, I ended up moving in with Greg.
Yeah.
So now it's not just a matter of like me. I'm not gonna bring some strange random woman and I fall asleep and she goes in there and fucking stabs Greg the fuck up, you know what I mean? Like you know what I mean? So like, I have to think of the person that I live with too. So I just never really had a one night stand. You know what I mean? It just wasn't.
I get that.
You know what I mean? I like to cuddle. I'm not gonna cuddle with some strange chick.
I wasn't really into cuddling.
Have you, Greg, you ever kicked anybody out of your house? Like post-coitus? No, not like... Just,
after, like, doing...
Yeah.
I've kicked somebody out of my house before. Yeah.
Like post-coitus?
No. In the heat of an argument. Never like, oh, after we've done the do and I've gotten mine and she's gotten hers and... like, I need to go catch up with somebody, so you gotta go. Like, it was never like that, but I had my moments.
Yeah, sometimes I just don't want to be around you.
But what?
Sometimes I just don't want to be around you.
Yeah.
And I remember with you, like, I remember vividly having sex, and then I don't remember how I said it, or even if something that I say, but I just remember just not wanting to be around that person afterwards.
The only time I've ever told someone they have to leave was, it had nothing to do with sex. That's the funny thing about it. I used to work 4 to 12. Yeah. Burn Notice used to come on at
1. Oh, shit. This is say Burn Notice. All right, go ahead.
Burn Notice used to come on
at
1.
Yeah.
So I used to have to, either I used to have to rush home to watch it, or I had a DVR. I can't remember which one it was. So I said on the way home, I was like, yo, I want to watch this episode. I want to watch this shit in silence. Yeah. So if we're going to talk, I'm going to be annoyed. So please, just give me an hour to watch the show. That's all I ask for. So I'm watching the show, and I don't mind questions. I don't mind what's going on here, blah, blah, blah. But they were like trying to have like legitimate conversations. As you know, it was DVR because I kept pausing it. And I got annoyed, and I just kind of like, and anyone who knows me know I have this face when I'm annoyed, when I just like stare off blankly into space. And she said something to me, and I was like, and she said something rude. I was like, yo, you can go home.
Oh, shit.
And they were like, what? I was like, yeah, you can go to go. I'll leave. I'm like, okay. I don't care. Like, I was just like, and it wasn't, and like, I felt like an ass at first, but like, if you call me and you say, I want to come over. And I say, that's fine, but between 1 a.m. and 2 a.m., I need my silence. I need the space. And you agree to these terms, and you still don't, like, follow the terms?
Yeah.
I'm not the bad guy here. Fuck off.
I mean, you gave the disclaimer.
Yes.
Well, I understand.
Verbal contract.
You know I'm into the law.
Yeah, verbal contract.
Yeah.
So, yep. She ended up being quiet. We ended up fucking after that.
My wife is the first woman that I was comfortable with sleeping in the bed overnight on a consistent basis.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I'm an only child, right? And I grew up with brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
Single mom who had like 3 jobs constantly, right? So I spent a lot of time by myself. I like my alone, like even now as a married man, like I like my alone time. Like I like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I just need a couple hours, maybe like a day. Just like leave me the fuck alone. I just want to be by myself, right? And I remember just not wanting to share my bed with people. Like it wasn't even out of being an asshole or whatever. It's just, I just didn't want, I felt hot. I felt like extra. I'm gonna need some of that too. I'm gonna need at least a sip of that shit.
Oh, this is whiskey apparently.
Whiskey?
Yeah.
You gonna throw that in a cup?
No, I wanna.
So the Coco host brought old man a couple of items, and one of those. Let me see that. They're not a sponsor, so I'm not gonna say their name, but
I do want that Lord Hobo sponsor though.
It's a small can of 84 proof rye whiskey. And she told us to do what we want with it.
So I decided to shove it up my ass. No.
He's going to use it as a suppository.
I mean, this is the first day since I can actually jack off again. But no, so...
I just need to sip it. I just want to know what it tastes like.
Just take a sip and still put your mouth on it.
Yeah. Word. But you don't want my lips on your shit?
I have a rule. Pause. I have a rule with my best friend. And we have this whole thing.
God damn!
We have a rule. Ooh. It's like, we have a rule. If you've eaten pussy within the last 2 weeks, I can't share a drink with you.
Yeah.
Hobby, I will probably never share a drink with you because I know you.
What are you talking about?
I saved the rule so I know you.
What are you talking about?
I know you. I don't even. And it's funny because you don't even talk about your sex life with your wife.
Yeah.
But I know you.
Yeah.
So, nah. And Shanice is like little sister, so I don't even want to fucking know. Yeah. Right? So, anyway.
You really don't want to know.
I don't.
Everything should be left.
Anyway, so moving on. So we got another story. So we got another story from. We actually got more than a few stories from Ken.
Ken,
who's been on the show, he can blow a hobo.
What up? You need to come back on the show, bro.
Hey, Ken, you can blow a hobo. He goes, okay. Okay, so me and my roommate Mikey, who you met at Lon's birthday, used to work work the door at a bar called Symphony 8. It used to be Tiger Lily's. It has since been shut down. The bar was proper respectable was a proper respectable place by day, but at night the Northeastern kids would basically wreak havoc on the place. Real scumbag type of bar. Trashy college chicks, douchebag bro dudes, best kind of place to work if you want to hone your skills as Kevin Bacon Roadhouse stunt double. Was Kevin Bacon in Roadhouse?
Yes.
I've never seen Roadhouse, so okay.
Wait, no.
He's thinking of
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah, Patrick Swayze. So yeah, shit was always going down. Largely because the bar paid the door staff, door guys, to let in underage kids to boost profits because they drink like it was the first time in a goddamn bar and overspend on shit booze. So the charm of the bar is that they had a speakeasy lounge located in what was essentially the basement. You go into this bookcase that was really a door, and there would be a cool little downstairs chill spot. It would have been nice if it was in a respectable adult setting, but college kids are fucking animals.
Oh shit!
So me and Mikey were the most trusted bouncers in that place. We never worked the door because we had a good head for when to turn kids away and when a night was getting out of hand. There's a private party to speakeasy that night. Sorry, he's sending more messages, so I keep losing it. Some birthday thing with some older 24 to 25 people. Invite only. Nobody else is supposed to be down the speakeasy unless you're on the list. One of our dipshit inside guys lets a crew of drunk a-holes into the speakeasy section, and naturally the group that was there wanted them gone. From here, I'll tell the story strictly from the from my perspective, then I'll fill in what I learned in the gaps. Alright, so before I go on.
Oh god, there's more?
Yes.
Jesus Christ.
There's a lot more, apparently. Does anybody have any comments before I keep going?
Like, nah, keep going.
Because, Greg, considering what you do for a living, you know this is going to end bad, right? Alright. Okay. So me and Mikey are hanging out. It's a nice, easy-ass night. Summer, so life is good. It's around midnight, so we're counting our tips, bribes, whatever we skimmed off cover fees for the door. Next thing we know, one of the witches comes flying out to tell us...
I love bribing bouncers, by the way. I remember the first time I bribed a bouncer. It was dope. But anyways,
I was the one bouncer you couldn't bribe.
Nah.
You couldn't bribe me.
Really?
Yeah.
No amount of money?
Maria calls me, like, Mr. Like, Obey the Law, because yeah. There's certain things I just won't do.
I remember it was my boy, coming from Haiti, had a lot of money, parks a Porsche in front of the club. So, you know, you park the Porsche in front of the club, the bouncer's already be like, all right, he's going to spend some money at the bar. So
they can. You got to let him in.
You got to let him in.
Even if you're a capacity,
you got to. This is the first time I bribed the bar, actually. I didn't even know about it. So I go there, I meet up with him. He's like, yo, meet me in front of the bar. He hands me a $100 bill. Give it to the bouncer. You're not going to. I don't give a fuck who you are. I know bouncers. I know how much bouncers make. If you give a bouncer a $100 bill, he going to let you do whatever the fuck you want. Pro tip. Tell me I'm lying.
It depends on what's going on. If we're at capacity,
yeah.
Then no, I'm not letting you in.
If I throw you a $100 bill.
If we're at capacity, no, I'm not letting you in.
Damn. I'm hiring you as a bouncer.
If we're in a situation where we're on our last strike, I'm definitely not letting you in. If you're underage, I'm absolutely not.
I mean, yeah, it's different. Underage is different. That can shut the whole club down.
Underage is 100% no.
Yeah, that's a whole
at capacity situation. It depends. I should say this. At capacity, yeah. It depends on how many people you're letting. Yeah. If it's just five people, cool.
No, like, listen. I wasn't in dress code. I wasn't in anything.
Dress code, I don't give a shit about. Dress code, I don't give a fuck about.
We walked in. I was in there for 10 minutes, and then we walked out with 3 Asian women.
All right, moving on. Before you get in trouble.
Yeah. Well, this was years ago.
Next thing we know, one of the witches comes flying out of us and just like, you guys got to get the fuck in here. There's a massive brawl going down. We run in and there's just a mess of people freaking the fuck out. Someone says shit is still going on downstairs and there's a melee upstairs too. So me and Mike split up and the rest of the bouncers and the bartenders. Mike takes a few guys and heads down to the speakeasy. I grab three guys and try to handle the upstairs fight. Excuse me. So I'm pulling motherfuckers off of each other and trying to restore order. When one of the guys I pull off is like, dude, we're trying to help you. This guy is fucking crazy. I look to kind of the middle of the fracas and I realize it's just one massively yoked Dominican dude going full out roid rage Hulk on five guys and he is kicking their asses. And then he goes, like, I've never seen one man handle business before, like business like that. Any comments so far?
So one dude beat up three bouncers?
No, he's just beating the shit out of people.
Huh. Okay, continue.
So I naturally go, oh fuck this, I'm not getting my ass beat. So I turn from Frank Castle prison fight mode to Black Widow in the opening scene of Age of Ultron.
And this is Jeff, right?
No, this is Ken.
This is Ken? Okay.
I'm literally like, easy big guy, I'm trying to help you. We're not kicking you out. I'm on your side. Let's be easy. Shit.
Yo, when the boss is like, yo, big guy, we're on your side. You know the problem. Alright.
I get that dude to calm down just for a second when this chick comes running down the stairs bleeding and covered in glass shards. What the fuck?
Yo.
That sends Rage Hulk back into kill mode and he literally plows through me and five other guys to get what I later learned was his bleeding girlfriend.
Oh. He was trying to protect his girl. Hold on, I just start stealing the story.
Yeah. So we managed to get them outside the bar and he's calm because he's taking care of her but also wants blood for whoever hit her with a bottle.
This is such a Boston story.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. My crew stays with them to keep the peace and I run back inside to get met by Mike and the rest of the guys escorting a screaming man who's holding a bloody bar towel on his right eye and a few of his friends who look white as ghosts who just got back from Nam and saw some shit they could not unsee.
Yo, I love this city. I fucking love this city, bro. Where else would this shit happen?
Greg, where else could this happen?
I don't know. I just know Boston.
I love this fucking city, bro.
I can imagine that happening.
Yeah. So. That's like a Tuesday.
I can see this happening in Florida. This seems like a regular.
But if it was Florida, somebody ended up dead.
Yeah, Florida has some wild twists to it.
We haven't even got to the end yet.
Like, there'll be an alligator involved.
No, we haven't got to the end yet.
There's still more to this shit.
Alright,
go ahead.
Mikey's yelling at our
manager. That's how you know I'm lost as fuck, but go ahead.
Mikey's yelling at our manager, Ashley, to call the fucking cops and tells me to go grab the last few guys from the group that started the shit who are still downstairs. I get to the stairs only to be met by the group who were talking shit and still trying to fight anyone. So we grab and drag those motherfuckers outside. Bad idea. This sends Hulk back into his raid and he tries coming after them. Almost everyone from the bar staff is trying to hold him back. Next thing you know, bam. One of those motherfuckers bottles the Hulk.
Yo, did that calm down the Hulk? Plunder?
He's down and bleeding. Nice. Those motherfuckers bolt. The group celebrating that was supposed to be there ends up just getting in cars, collecting their wounded, and flying down the street to Boston. Boston Medical. So the chaos is over. Bar shuts down for the night. And we're all drinking as a staff like, what the fuck? Now, here's his, okay. Come to find out, the bartender down there, the asshole, come to find out from the bartender down there that the assholes came from and interrupted the party, the group that reserved their space was super cool and was like, chill and drink with us. They started problems anyway, and someone hucked a bottle at Rage Hulk that ended up hitting his girlfriend. Now, everybody here, if someone throws a bottle at you and it hits your girlfriend...
Oh, they dying.
It's a wrap.
Okay, I'm not going to say I'm killing somebody online.
You're killing somebody. But I'm probably killing somebody.
You know, yeah, I'm probably killing
somebody. Let's not even act like that's a thing.
Don't hit my wife. Huh? Go hit my wife. Yeah, even by accident.
Like, hit me, that's all fine.
Yeah, yeah, go right ahead.
So he goes, proceeds. Chaos ensued. The screaming dude with the bloody towel got his eye literally knocked out of his head. And it was carnage and madness. Okay, so the next week, me and Mikey are manning the door again when this black Lexus pulls up and this older dude gets out. Maybe in his mid-50s. He comes up and is like, were you guys here when all the
shit happened? Yo, did he write this whole fucking story? All right, go ahead.
Yes. He comes up and is like, were you guys here when all this shit happened last week? We tell him we were. Well, I'm looking for the kid that started it. You know who it is. Nope, just some drunk asshole. Guy hands us each a hundo and a business card.
So you gotta give him a hundo, bro.
Yeah, apparently.
You gotta give him a hundo.
Hold on real quick. Look, if you guys find the kid, I'd like to like you to give me a call before you call the cops or anything. I like word with him over what he did to my son. There's a good payday for you boys if you get a hold of him, you understand? Me and Mikey were both like, yeah, sure, no problem, man. Not our business. Guy got in his legs and drove off. We never said a fucking word because clearly that guy was connected to some bad people and was going to kill this fucking kid. So that's my story. Mike would gladly collaborate if needed.
All right, where do we go first? Are we just going to say welcome to Boston?
I don't even... What do you say to that? Like, what do you say to that?
Like, I feel like that's... Like, I'm not surprised. Like, I feel like I've seen that scenario play out in different versions at bars and clubs in the city.
Did I ever tell you I put somebody in the Walls of Jericho at a bar?
You did not. And I don't even... Judge me all you want. Did I ever tell you about that? I don't know what the Walls of Jericho is.
It's a Boston crap. It's essentially an elevated Boston crap. Yeah. So, I was at a bar. This story has nothing on with the other story. But just, like, let me just say how shit escalates when you're, like, drunk and bouncing.
Yeah.
So, I'm downstairs, working a bar, whatever. And someone, it's like one of those random things. We've all been at the bar. And even you, you're not really a bar or a club guy. But when someone has a random, like, beach ball. Mm-hmm. And they're, like, hitting a beach ball or whatever.
In the bar?
Yeah. So, I'm downstairs.
They won't let me walk into a bar with a beach ball. But
absolutely not. This was a McFadden's beach ball.
Yeah.
And the downstairs bar was, like, the ceiling was short.
Yeah.
So, like, you're bouncing it, but you're not really bouncing it. And so I'm sitting there, I'm just watching it, whatever. I'm like, I don't give a shit. So I'm just standing there, arms folded, big black guy just overseeing the crowd.
Yeah.
And the waitress, and I have a rule. If a waitress says, this guy touched me, I don't give a fuck what this other guy
said. That nigga's out.
You're gone.
Yeah.
So the guy said, so she was like, this guy did whatever.
Yeah.
He either was rude to her or he touched her.
Yeah.
Now, on top of that, she was dating one of the head bouncer.
Yeah.
So she's his girlfriend.
Yeah.
You gotta go.
Yeah.
So yeah, you gotta go. He was like, yo, come on. Like, come on, man. I didn't do that. I'm like, don't care, man. She said you did it, so you did it.
Yeah.
He goes, well, I'm not telling you. I'm like, I don't care, dude. Yeah. I trust her and I don't know you.
Yeah.
So we're walking the stairs and he pushes me.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, and I scooped him. I grabbed it because he's on a high. You know that shit. I have the high ground. That shit. No,
this ain't episode 3, motherfucker.
Yeah, bro. No, you're the high ground,
yeah.
And I'm at your legs.
Yeah.
It's a wrap.
Yeah.
So I grab the back of his legs and I scoop him.
Yeah. This ain't Star Wars, motherfucker.
And I'm like, and I was like, holy shit. I have a rare opportunity to do this shit in real life.
Oh, wow.
So I step over and I put this nigga in the Boston crowd. I put this dude in the Boston crowd.
I want to be a bouncer. Yo, no. Who's hiring?
No, you don't. That shit is not fun at all, bro. No. Bouncing is not fucking fun. That shit is fucking terrible.
I stay away from those details.
There's certain clubs I've been to where I was like, yo, bouncing here might seem like fun, but is it just because I'm seeing it from...
Yeah.
A drunk perspective?
You're seeing it from the outside looking in. Like, bouncing in general is fucking trash. It's not fun.
I have a lot of friends that
no one enjoys doing it. There are moments. There are some fun moments that you can have that, like, where you're like, okay, well, I'll do this and I'll do that. Like, you know what I mean?
A lot of standing around.
there's a ton of like standing around, but you spend more time like it's a lot more boring than people make it out to be, because you're really not doing a whole hell of a lot. You're kind of just like there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, and when you do get in a fight, then when you actually have to like when you actually have to remove somebody, you don't necessarily want to.
Cause it's a fight.
Not only is it just a fight, you're like, because a lot of time when you're throwing somebody out, it's not all, I would say, and again, I only bounced for a year.
Yeah.
So, it's actually one of my buddies might come on, and he might be, I'm hoping he'll come on to, be, to talk about bouncing story, because he bounced a lot longer than I did. But I would say 70% of the people that I had to throw out, and this isn't me physically throwing them out, but 70% of people that I had to tell to leave and actually, like, make them go, they weren't, like, super drunk aggressive. Mm. They just were either too drunk to stay, or it was just time for them to go.
You kind of felt bad kicking them out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they weren't assholes. It was just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you had the 30%, and out of those 30%, I would say 50% of that 30% were assholes.
That's not how math works, but go ahead.
Well, it's 50% of 30%.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
So half of the 30% that I threw out.
That's better.
Fit, never mind. Half of the people I had to throw out, only half of them were assholes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So for like the most part, it was just kind of like, I didn't really enjoy throwing people out. Mm. Like, the one time I enjoyed throwing somebody out was this one guy who was just a complete dickhead. Like, if I'm talking to you, have enough respect to understand that we're having a conversation and look me in the face. This guy wouldn't even turn around and look at me. And I picked him up and ran with him on my shoulders, jumped off the steps. It's only 3 steps, so it's not like that far. And I slammed him to the ground. That was the only time I've ever, like, was happy throwing somebody out because that guy was a dickhead.
Yeah.
But even then, like, I felt bad about it later because, like, he was obviously on some shit because he came back, like, 2 or 3 other times. So he was either coked out or roided out or just had some issues.
Right.
I don't enjoy throwing people out. But if you're a dickhead, fuck you.
Yeah, you're like the nicest bouncer.
I am. I probably am the nicest bouncer ever.
That's crazy.
I genuinely try to be a nice person because I think to myself, how would I want someone to react to the way that I'm doing things? Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't like throwing people out. It's fucking annoying.
Yeah.
But I also wonder who has it worse. I've always had this debate with people, like, who has it worse, bartenders or bouncers? Because I would say the female bartenders have it worse just because it's like I feel like every third guy is hitting on them.
Mm.
And then if you're at a bar where it's like you're dressed like in something skimpy.
Like a lot of them.
Yeah.
The fishnet with the boy shorts.
Yeah. Like even this bar I always frequent, Clark's.
Mm-hmm.
It's a standard uniform for everybody. Black pants, black shoes, black shirt.
Yeah.
Standard. You've been to Clark's many times, it'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and one thing I love about that club is like, that bar is so good, they don't need to have a gimmick with their waitstaff. They rely strictly on their service.
Yeah.
And they're good. And well, me and Greg and Diddy used to go to the place on a regular basis. Like, you've been to the place?
So, which one?
The place.
No.
It was, like, right across the street from my job. Like, the garage of my job.
That wasn't my area. I was more of a Dorchester, Roxbury guy.
There was a club that was around that used to begin with a V. They used to have a West Indian night at one.
Venue?
On State Street? Is that what it's called?
I know Venue had, like, a lot of... Like,
was Venue the one on State Street?
So I don't remember,
bro. But one of them on there had a really like thorough like West Indian night. Yeah. It was like
there was a couple of them out there.
That
couple
of them would have been.
I don't remember.
But I remember me and Greg and Diddy and I think Jeff when he was up here too. We used to go to the place every like Wednesday and Friday night. And Wednesday was like bikini night.
Hey. Oh shit!
Yeah, it was dope. Bartenders can be in bikinis, but it's funny. Like I think Greg attested this. There was never really any fights. But a lot of it has to do with like. Whether or not the bartenders are observant of, like, how they're serving people.
Yeah.
But the problem about that is, it's like, there's no guarantee that, like... So let's say I'm shit-faced. I go up and I have 5 drinks.
Yeah.
Then they see me, they're like, okay, well, he's cut off.
You have five drinks after your shit face?
No, no, I have five drinks and now I'm shit faced.
Okay, yeah.
So they're not going to give me a six.
Yeah.
But you might have only had one.
Yeah.
And you're with my group. And I go, yo, Javi, yo, go get me one.
So, I probably wouldn't, but.
Well, you're a good friend.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? But, like, that's the point. So, like, yeah. There was a whole thing with, like that. So, it's not as easy. Because people always go, well, you overserved them. I'm like, how do they expect to know when they're dealing with, like, over, like, 200 people and, like, who's drunk and who's not? Like, you know what I mean? So, it's a whole thing, man. So. I think that's all I have to... Oh, no! I do have one more story. I'm actually glad Greg came for this. I'm actually curious to know how Greg's going to react to this one. And here we go.
I'm so curious.
And so he goes, oh, it's Harry.
How are you?
Tony.
Oh, something. Harry Harding. Okay, yeah. Harry Harding, shout out to Cole, the professor.
So I didn't want... So I was... I don't think he gives a shit if we throw his name in here. Yeah. That time my boy and I were Red Light District in Amsterdam looking for hookers.
Yo, we need to put him on.
I do, we do.
Yeah.
He found one he liked. She had a penis.
There's nothing wrong with that.
It was a he.
Let me go ahead and say that.
It was a he, and my boy was not pleased. We're down to sorrows and copious amounts of weed and alcohol. He will not talk about it till this day. As good friends, we continue to make fun of him, though.
No question. Yeah. Question, did he beat?
I was thinking about it too. Yeah. I was wondering too.
Like, it's vague. Did he beat? Yeah. Yo, is there any way to contact Harry Harding right now?
I'll ask him right now.
So we'll fix it. We'll fix it in post.
And I want to know if he beat.
Once again, nothing wrong with it.
Recording right now. So your friends never know. Do you beat?
Great. I mean, yeah, great.
Nah.
I'm good. I knew Greg was gonna say no.
You find yourself in that situation? If you find yourself in that situation, what you doing?
I would. Oh my goodness.
Greg's not even telling anybody what happened. He's just leaving and going. He's just like, nah, it wasn't what I expected.
I am all set.
How about you, old man?
What?
Single old man, what you doing in that situation?
I'd probably beat.
You already beat.
This is in the old man late show.
You beat them off?
Yo, I got no confidence.
That's a double entendre.
Bend over and take this dick. I paid for it.
Support a sex worker, yo. Oh, shit.
Oh, man, this has been the Old Man Wade Show. Thank Justin Greg for coming in. Phrasing, considering what I just said.
Nah, no phrasing. Man. You say what you say. I ain't judging.
Oh, man. Shout out to Super Woke Hobby,
yo.
The coast for doing this, man.
I'm sure you had another story to go before.
Do you have another one?
Nah, I got shit. Nah, right there, bro.
Can someone give me a damn it, Wade?
Damn it, Wade.
Damn it, Wade.